Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Beis, the last daf in the sixth parak of Masechta Bava Basra. The seventh parak is the shortest parak in the Masechta, I think, and we'll be done within a week with the seventh parak as well. But here we are finishing up the sixth parak. We mentioned yesterday that the Mishnah has a machlokas, that if a person sells a ma'ara of kvaros to his friend, and he tells him he's going to give him a suitable area for a ma'ara, so it has to be machlokas in the Mishnah how large that area has to be. Tanakama said dalet amos al sheish, 4 amos by 6 amos is a suitable area for a ma'ara, and within that 4 amos by 6 amos you can fit a total of 8 kvaros. And Rabbi Shimon said no, that it's supposed to be 6 amos al shmona, 6 amos by 8 amos, and within the 6 amos by 8 amos you can fit 13 kuchen, 13 mesim can be buried in the 6 by 8. But that's the machlokas, is it 4 by 6 or is it 6 by 8? So says our Gemara now, 3 lines from the bottom, I believe that's where we left off, 3 lines from the bottom, Tanan. So we have a Mishnah. Where's the Mishnah? So the Masoras Shas tells us the Mishnah is in Olos, Perek Tazayin, Mishnah Gimel. The main sugya that discusses this Mishnah is in Nazir. So it's interesting, Rosh Hashanah, when it says Tanan Hasam, normally it's unnecessary when quoting a Mishnah for Rashi or the Rosh Hashanah to tell us exactly where the Mishnah is, because after all, it's a Mishnah. We're supposed to know Mishnayos, so we should be able to find the Mishnayos on our own. And certainly, we have the Masoras Shas, we can find the Mishnayos on our own. But Rashbam tells us over here, Tanan Hasam b'sof Maseches Nazir, that it's a Mishnah at the end of Maseches Nazir. It's unusual that he says that, because it's not really a Mishnah in Maseches Nazir, it's really a Mishnah in Allah's, the Gemara Nazir. Discusses it further, but primarily it's a Mishnah in Allos. But the idea probably is that the Rashbam is telling us that's where you can find a major discussion of the entire topic. So we're going to have an abbreviated discussion of the topic of this Mishnah here, but the Rashbam is giving us the Mar Makom, and he's going to quote much of it in the rest of the Rashbam on the page, that if you really want to learn about this Mishnah, take a look at the Sugya at the end of Nazir. So anyway, what's the Sugya about? So it's not awesome. We have a Mishnah that says as follows. Hamotze meis mushkav kedarko. Let's say you find a dead body, mushkav kedarko, and it's buried lying down in the normal way. But you weren't expecting to find a dead body there. It was not a cemetery, or as far as you knew, it was not a cemetery. And you're digging, you're planting, or something, for whatever reason, you're digging, you're excavating, and then you find the mace, and the mace seems to be buried in the proper normal way. So notlo ve'es tfusaso. You're supposed to remove that mace and tfusaso. Tfusaso is the immediate area around that mace. If you take a look at the Rashbam, hamotze mace tchila shlo noda ad achshav shahayakan mace. I mean, the point is, you didn't realize there was a mace here. Inami, says Rashbam, noda sheish kan mace v'achar kach matza shnayim acherim tchila shlo hayyuduin la vishkunas kvaros. Let's say you knew there was one mace, and then you found two others that you didn't know were here. So that's not called the shkunas kvaros liknos v'koman, to the extent that they are kona, the area in which they are buried. Elanotlan vest fusasan, achu shloshi yudun, or shloshi tchila kitanim shlo misachas nazi vachi gemirila. You should remove the body and the tfusasan, the area right around the body, unless you have a situation where either you knew of 3 mason that were here, if you knew of them being there to begin with, so then you assume it's a shchunas kvaros and you're not supposed to move them. We don't just move mesim stam. Shulchan Aruch has very specific rules about when you're allowed to move a mace, when you're not allowed to move a mace. Or you were unaware of any mesim, and then you stumble upon 3 mesim. Stumble upon 3, so then it's a shchunas kvaros. Says Rashbam, v'hachi gemirila. Why is that the halacha? Because it is. That's the halacha l'moshe v'sinai. That's how we know the halacha, that if you find one, if you were aware of one, and you find two more, or you just find one that you were unaware of, that's not going to be called the shkunas kvaros. Tosfos is a little bit bothered by this. Tosfos says, Tosfos, a motzi meis mushkav kedarko, Perak Basu the Nazir, Amar Motsi Prat Lamatsoi, Upirisha Kutras Prat Yadua im Echad Mehen Yadua Vashnaim in Yaduan. Right? This is excluding a case where you knew about one of them and you didn't know about the other two. Vakasha the Pirusho, the Midimimai Matsoi, Mashma the Griat Fe Echad Yadua Vishnaim Tchila. He says, from the fact that we're excluding a case of one of them that's Yadua and two of them that were not Yadua, it sounds that it's less of a Shkunas Kvaros when it's Echad Yadua and Shnayim Tchila than a case of Shnayim Yadum and Echad Tchila. He says, but that's not true. The two are equal. Meaning, what he really seems to be asking on his Pirush HaKuntros, which is Rashi in Maseches Nazir, which isn't really Rashi anyway. Meaning, we don't have Rashi here or in Nazir. In Nazir, it's not really Rashi either. But meaning the Rashbam did make it pretty clear over here that they are the same, even though he gave the example of one mace that you knew about and two that you didn't know about, but he did make it pretty clear that unless you have shlosha yiduim or shlosha tchila, that you have either three you knew about or three that you just found right now, the Rashbam made it pretty clear it would not have a din of shkunas kvaros. So it seems that he's really agreeing with Tosfos in terms of that shavazek kemozeh, that they both have the same halacha. The bein shnayim yiduim echad tchila, bein echad yiduim v'shayim tchila, ein lem shkunas kvaros, ad shu shlashan yiduim, o shlashan tchila kedamar benazir. Fine, says the Rashbam Viter, back in the Rashbam. So you find Mace Mushkov Kedarko, Notlo Vest Fusaso. So what do? You take him, you take the Mace, and Tfusaso. Says the Rashbam, Imrotza Lasso Shem Taros. If you want to do some sort of Taros there, Mifanei LeMace, Mishem Delo Kanamakomo, Kolzman Delo Havu Shlosha. What's he adding with that phrase, Imrotza Lasso Shem Taros? So what he seems to be saying is that this, it's not a requirement that you need to move this mace, that there's a problem with this mace being here. But if you want to, what you can do is just make a tziyun on the kever, so other people will know there's a kever here, and then people will know that they shouldn't do taros here. But if you want to use this area for taros, what he's telling us is that it's mutter to move the mace, even though typically when someone is buried in a regular cemetery, you're not allowed to just go and unbury them and move them to do pinoy atzamos. But over here, again, there are exceptions. To move to Kivrei Avos, you are allowed to. To move to Eretz Yisrael, you are allowed to. We discussed yesterday the Gvaldik Zuchus of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, and how it's really sugis at the end of Ksubis, but and how that relates to Tchias HaMesim, and how Tchias HaMesim is much easier on those who are buried in Eretz Yisrael than those who are not buried in Eretz Yisrael. So fine, so to bury in Eretz Yisrael, that zuchus is kedai. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch even quotes a minhag that when they bury outside of Eretz Yisrael, sometimes there are those that have a minhag that take a little bit of afer Eretz Yisrael and stick it in the kever, just to make it a shtikl kiyum of, some sort of partial kiyum of burial in Eretz Yisrael, even though it's not really. But says the Rashbam, no, the situation over here is not that you're mechuyiv to move it, it's in Rotzalas Hashem Taros. If you're interested in doing Taros over there, mefanei lemeis, mishum delo kana mekomo, kolzman delo havu shlosha, because the mace is not kona the area where he is, unless there are three mace in there. Because we have the right to assume that this place was not a proper burial place for this guy. It was that people were pressured and they had to get him buried quickly. They didn't have time to get him to the Beis HaKvaros. So what did they do? Kavru l'sham, they just buried him wherever they could. And that's how he ended up in this spot, this random spot in the middle of nowhere, because they just had to get the guy buried. They couldn't get him all the way to a proper Beis HaKvaros. So in that situation, he's not kona mekomo, and you're allowed to move him. Umiu kiven de meishu v'lo harug. But the point was, and the Gemara in Nazir makes all these diyukim explicitly, it says, hamotzei meis mushkav kedarko. Each word teaches us a halacha. Mace is velo harug. Since he was a mace and he wasn't murdered, he wasn't killed, you could tell by the way he was lying there. Umushkav kedarko, and he's lying there in the way that a person is normally buried. Notel gamest fusaso kedemfar shmesechus nazir. Meaning, even though he's not kona makomo, still you take the immediate area around him because he was mace and wasn't haruk. Kama Shir Tfusa, how much is that? Pirush Rav Elazar, Notel Afar Tichuach, you take some of the soft dirt in the immediate vicinity, V'chofer Shlosh Tfachim B'Karka B'Sula, plus you dig another 3 Tfachim worth of dirt in the undug land around it, V'Notel HaKol D'Chashivi K'Rekev Shalmeis, and you take all of that, because all of that has a din of Rekev Shalmeis, V'Nafkalan Midichsiv, and where do we get this idea of Rekev HaMeis, that you take the dirt around the mace when you move the mace? Pasuk says, "V'nasasani miMitzrayim," that Yaakov Avinu says, "I want you to take v'nasasani, carry me miMitzrayim." What is the lashon miMitzrayim? So miMitzrayim tol imi. What he's saying is, don't only take me; take a little piece of Mitzrayim with me when you take me to Eretz Yisrael. Kolomer mikarka Mitzrayim. Avlam havei haruk shematzu meguyad lo kana mekom aklal. But if it were, let's say, a case where someone was murdered and you found him, how do you know he was murdered? He was chopped into little pieces. Right, he was chopped his limbs were chopped off. So then he's not kona mekomo at all. Afilu l'tfusa. So basically, what the Rosh Hashanah is saying is that there are 3 levels of kona mekomo. When it's a beis hakvaros and it's a proper burial place for the person, he's kona mekomo in the sense that you're not even allowed to move him. When it's a situation where he was mace mushkav, he was obviously buried there, but it's not a real proper beis hakvaros. So he's not kona mekomo in the sense you're not allowed to move him, but he's kona mekomo in the sense that there's a din of rekev hameis, that the area right around him has to go wherever he goes. And when he's harug, then he's not kona mekomo at all. When he was a murder victim and he was just left there, then he's not kona mekomo at all. You don't even have to take the tefusa around him. It could just be that he was murdered there and he fell there. Also, if let's say he's not lying in the way that we bury people, so then you have the concern that maybe he's really a guy. And if he's really a guy, then also you don't have this halacha of tfusa. The whole idea of tfusa meis doesn't apply by a guy. Now that halacha that the Rashbam says that the whole idea of tfusa meis doesn't apply to a guy doesn't seem to be agreed upon by everybody. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tumas Meis, Paraktes Halacha Gimel, that a guy also has tefusa. So, what does the Brisa say, Meis Mushkav Kedarko, or the Mishnah say, Meis Mushkav Kedarko, and Kedarko we thought meant to be Mimayit Sheino Kedarko, where it's a raya that he's a guy. So, what's it coming to be Mimayit? So, says the Rambam would say that that's only for the din of Shkunas Kvaros. That the din of Shkunas Kvaros doesn't apply to a guy. That what's the din of Shkunas Kvaros? We didn't see it yet. The Mishnah is going to say it. That if you find enough mason in an area, you have to check the next 20 amos to make sure that there isn't another ma'ara full of mason around there. So that doesn't apply to a guy. That's what we mean to say. But Lagabi the din of tfusa, that when you move the mace, you should move the area, the little dirt that's in his immediate vicinity with him. That does apply to a guy. That's how the Rambam understands. Frek the Chazanish in Alos Chaf Beis Yud Gimel on the Rambam. What are you talking about? The Gemara's mashma that we say Mushkav Kedarko Lagabi the halach of tfusa as well. How's the Gemara mashma that way? Because if that were not the case, why does it already mention this idea in the Reisha when we talk about finding Meis Echad? When you find Meis Echad, there's no Shchunas Kvaros to talk about. The only din we're discussing is the din of Tfusa, is the din that you take some of the dirt around the Meis with the Meis. Why already then do we mention Meis Mushkav Kedarko to be Mema'ed Agai? Sounds like we're being Mema'ed Agai even from the din of Tfusa, not only from the din of Shchunas Kvaros. Because according to the Rambam, it shouldn't make a difference in the ratio whether he's Mushkav Kedarko or not Mushkav Kedarko. So that's the kasha of the Chazanish on the Rambam. The Aruch HaShulchan HaAsa just explains the Machlokas, whether Mace whether an Akum has the din of Tfusa. He says Machlokas is whether a guy that dies is Asr Bahana. We learned yesterday that there's a din that a Mace is Asr Bahana. You're not allowed to get hana from a dead body. Whatever it's a limud the Gemara has, you're not allowed to get a hana from a dead body. A limud from Egla Rufa, that just like it says sham, just like by Egla Rufa it says sham, and by Kvur it says sham. Whatever it is, so you're not allowed to get hana from a dead body. What about a mace akum? Obviously, very nogel lemaisa shayla. in terms of being nen emin ames, in terms of using mesei akum for our own benefit, for research or whatever, right? In order to deal with mesei akum. So the Rambam holds that a mesei akum is asabana. So if the mesei akum is asabana, he, the Aruch HaShulchan Aruch, believes that the din of tefusa is taller than that. The tefusa is going to be asa as well, because what's the whole din of the tefusa? The whole din of the tefusa, of the area right around the mace, is that we assume that there are particles of the mace that extend into the dirt around him, that they're actual pieces of the mace. And therefore, if you're going to move the mace, and the mace is asabana, you need to make sure to get all of it, right? To get every single bit of the mace, which includes the area right around it, right? That would be the Shittas Rambam. The Rashbam holds that, like Tosfos Baba Kama, that a guy who dies is mutabana. So if a guy who dies is mutabana, so mele, the tfusa is mutaris as well, right? If he's mutabana, why should the tfusa be aser? Again, the whole idea of the tfusa is only that it has particles of the mace all around. In fact, if you look at Rabbeinu Gershom on the left-hand column of the page, four lines from the bottom, he says, Tfusaso osu kaka shesvivo. What's the idea? Shahalecha v'amoach shel meis sham kol osu kaka notali motu kemeis atzmodami. That the lecha and the moach of the mace is there. That's the notion of Tfusas ames. Fine, so that's the Shittas Rambam. Good. So one short point. We say motzi mace mushkav kedarko. So you take the mace, and the Rashbam went through this whole thing because probably they just buried him last minute and they didn't have a place to bury him properly. So you should remove the mace from there. In fact, the Ritva, isn't it possible that there's a guy buried nowhere near a Beis HaKfaros? Not because they were in a rush and they didn't want to bury him properly, or they didn't have time to bury him properly in a Beis HaKfaros. There's another very strong possibility that we talk about in halacha all the time, and that is the halacha of a mace mitzvah. Right? The halacha is a mace mitzvah is kona makomo. He's kona the area wherever you find the mace mitzvah. Sham teik v'raso. That's where you bury him. You bury the mace mitzvah where you find him. Maybe this guy is buried in the middle of nowhere, and you only found one guy because he was a mace mitzvah. Maybe it had nothing to do with people just not having time to bring him all the way to the Beis HaKvaros. That's the kash of the Ritva. The Ritva gives two terutzim. First of all, he says, you know, not choshish for that, because for a meis mitzvah, yesh pirsum. He says, by a meis mitzvah, when a meis mitzvah situation comes up, it's, you know, it's on the Yeshiva World News, and it's on Vasas Nayas, and yeah, everyone's going to know about it. Every Jew in the world is going to know about it within, you know, in the community is going to know about it within a short period of time. That's a big deal when there's a meis mitzvah. So for a meis mitzvah, you would have known about it. The fact that we didn't know about it is a hechrich that it's not a meis mitzvah. That's one. Second answer the Ritva says is, shemeis mitzvah einu matzui. He says, how often does that happen, that you have a meis mitzvah? It's complete, very, very uncommon, and therefore you're not even going to make it as a chashash, as a suffix, that maybe it's a meis mitzvah. We don't have such concerns. The Mishnah Achrona, which is one of the commentators on the Mishnayos, on the standard editions of the Mishnayos, which people rarely learn these days ever since Kahati came out and art school and everything else, but the standard editions of the Mishnayos, of the commentator called the Mishnah Achrona, and he's mitarets that the Isra to be pon of the mace is only an Isra midrabanan to begin with. Right, an Isra of Pinoy Ames, and that's why we're Mekel Legabe, you know, in so many cases, when it's to bring him to Kivrei Avos, or to bring him to Eretz Yisrael, the whole Isra is only an Isra Midrabanan to begin with. So he says, basically, Enochinami, Ritva's Kasha is, shouldn't it be a Safek? Aren't you not sure whether you're supposed to do Pinoy Ames over here, or whether it's a Mace Mitzvah and it's also to do Pinoy Ames? So says the Mishnah Achrona, yeah, it's a suffix, that's exactly right. But it's a suffix on a din d'rabbanan, and suffix d'rabbanan l'kula. And therefore, since suffix d'rabbanan l'kula, you're allowed to do the pinoy ames, there's nothing wrong. So it's at the most, it's a suffix, and yesh lahakel, we can go and we could be mekel, and we could move the mace. Fine. The Rabbeinu Gershom, as we mentioned before, says the idea of taking the tefusa along with it is because we assume parts of the mace are in the tefusa as well. Not all Rishonim agree with that. The Ritva writes that no, the idea of taking the tefusa, of taking the dirt directly around the mace is because of a kavod mace, that it's a kavod mace to take the dirt in which he's buried around him, and that's why, because that's the proper kavod mace, therefore we consider that dirt like the rekav mace, even though it doesn't really have any parts of the mace inside of it. So again, let's start again, since just spoke for the last 15 minutes. Let's start again. Tanan Hasam says the Mishnah. Hamotzi mace mushka kedarko. You find a mace buried in a normal way. Notal vesfusasa. You take that mace, you remove it and the dirt directly surrounding it. Shnayim. Let's say you find two dead bodies also buried properly. Notlan vesfusasan. You can move them as well. That two bodies does not a base akvaros make. And therefore, you're allowed to go take the two bodies, remove them with their tfusa. Now, the top of Kufpe Zamar Aleph. Matzah Shlosha. You find three mesim. Im yesh peinein me arba ad shmona. Harezu shkunas kvaros ubodig menel alan esrim amma. If there is between them, between 4 and 8 amos between them, meaning that's the rough area in which you find these three mesim, so then you should search further another 20 amos to make sure that you're not in the middle of what is a larger cemetery, of what is a larger area where there are mesim buried. Matza echad besof esrim amma. Let's say you check the 20 amma area and you find at the very end of the 20 amma area one more mace, so then you know you're onto something. You got to keep checking, even though you'll say, no, there's only one more. Wasn't if it was a shchunas akvaros, wouldn't I have found more than one? No, still you check further another 20 amos to see if there are any more mesim that may be amiss that you didn't that are also in that area. Sharaglayim ledavar, because what are the chances that you find three in close proximity to each other and then another one? It's raglayim ledavar that there are more mesim around and that you just got to keep on looking. Sheilu mitchila matzo notaves tfusaso. Had you found it originally just the one, so you would just take it and tfusaso. But you find so many together, so you have to assume that there are more mesim in the vicinity. So bottom line is, why are we quoting this? What does this have anything to do with what we're talking about, other than it's about death? So what else are we talking about besides for the fact that it's a basic pharos? No, the point is, look at the dimensions that we're describing. We had a machlokas in our Mishnah, how big is a ma'ara, right? The Tanakhama said a ma'ara is 4x6, and Rabbi Shimon said a ma'ara is 6x8, and Amr Mar, what did we just say? Me'arba v'yachmona, that from 4 to 8 is the assumption. So money, if it's, we're assuming like the Rabbanan say 4x6, 8 doesn't play a role. Rabbi Shimon said 6x8, 4 shouldn't play a role. The point is it should be 6 amos by 8 amos. Where does the idea of 4x6 come from? Where does the idea of 4x8 come from? It's either 4x6 or 6x8. 4x8 fits with neither of the shitos. Now, just as an aside, it says Amar Mar, Me arba v'yachmona, right? Amar Mar, but what are we quoting from? We're going back to quoting a Mishnah. Normally, Amar Mar is used when we're going back to quoting a Memra of an Amora, that you say, oh, Amar Mar, so-and-so just said, and we're going to go revisit what that person just said. Tosos Maseches Ksubas and the Sadi Tesam and Beis, Dibur Maskel Hachi, is Matmiya on Rashi, where Rashi over there has a girsa of Amar Mar, and it's going on a Mishnah. And Tosos says, how do you ever have Amar Mar in a Mishnah? Amar Mar always goes on a Gemara, doesn't go on a Mishnah. So what are you talking about? Amar Mar relating to a Mishnah. Obviously that causes a problem over here, right? Because over here we have Amar Mar and it's very clearly relating to this Mishnah in Ahalos that we're quoting. So how is Amar Mar appropriate over here? So the Stechemed is Miyashev, that only when we're quoting a kasha from a Mishnah, that's where it's normal to say it. But when we're just bringing a keta from a Mishnah or a Brisa to be done on it, when we're quoting kasha from Mishnah, then it's not appropriate to use the lashon of Amar Mar. It's more appropriate to use the lashon, as Tosos suggesting, Ksubas over there, of Vahatnan. Right? When you ask kasha from Mishnah, you say, what do you mean, Vahatnan? But when you're going to quote a line from Mishnah and then start discussing it and making ukimtas or whatever, So then it's appropriate to say Amar Mar even from a Mishnah. So just a stylistic thing in the Gemara, that the Gemara very rarely will use Amar Mar related to a Mishnah, but when it does, says the Steich Emet, it's usually when it's not a direct kasha from the Mishnah, it's when the Gemara is just quoting the Mishnah and says, wait a second, let's analyze, like the Gemara is doing over here. It's not Vahatnan, it's no, Amar Mar, the Mishnah says this idea of 4x8, well, let's analyze. We have two opinions in our Mishnah. It doesn't seem to fit with either of the opinions of our Mishnah. Just a couple of quick side points. In the Sefer Zera Emes, he points out from here that we see Legabe Tuma, meaning in general, we have a machlokas, Legabe Chazaka. How many times does it take to create a Chazaka? So it's Margala Bapume Dinshi. People always say that Chazaka is three times. Three times, it's a chazaka. In fact, it's a machlokas tanaim, how many times it takes to create a chazaka. Rebbe's shita is that two times is already a chazaka. Rav Shimon Wheel holds three times is a chazaka. So the Tshuva Zera Emes points out from our Mishnah, from this Mishnah and Alos that we're quoting, we see that Legabe Tuma, we pass like Rav Shimon Wheel. That Legabe Tuma, we assume, three times is a chazaka, and not two times. How do we see that? Because what do we say? When you find three mesim in the field, then we assume there's a chesk, it's becheskas shchunas kvaros. You have a chazaka that you have a shchunas kvaros over here. When you find two people, notlan ves tfus asan. You can remove the bodies and take the tfus and take the area around the bodies. You don't have to make any assumptions about any chazaka of any besak kvaros being here. It's only when there are three people that you assume that there's a besak kvaros. Good. So that's the idea. That's the idea of chazaka over here. Now, chazaka does not always involve three times. Sometimes chazaka, I mean, we don't always pass like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Sometimes we pass like Rebbe. For instance, legabe issues of sakana, we pass like Rebbe. Right? When it comes to children who died as a result of their milas, right? As a result of a bris mila, so you don't wait till a woman loses three children from mila and then say, oh, it must be that her kids are all hemophiliacs or whatever, that they're unable to handle a mila. No, yeah, after two times already, you say that's a chazaka, and by the third one, you're not going to give a mila because you're not going to want to endanger the child's life, right? So that's so it's not always that we're going to say three times is a chazaka, but at least over here by Tuma, we do assume that three times is a chazaka. Also, this, the Mishnah had said if you find between four and eight amos, it's a shkunas kvaros. So the Birei Adaf over here quotes from the Tshuvas Nishal LeDavid. I don't know who the Tshuvas Nishal David is, but it quotes from the Tshuvas Nishal David, who says that this shear is only during those days when they used to bury in Ma'aros. So then you have this assumption of between four and eight amos. But Bizman Azeh, where we don't bury in Ma'aros, we don't bury in caves anyway, so even if the mesim are closer than four amos or further away than eight amos, it could be considered shkunas kvaros if they're in a general vicinity of each other. I mean, if you're finding dead bodies all over the place, even if they happen to be 10 amos apart from each other, well, since we don't bury in Ma'aros, there's no magic number anymore of what the ideal is or what the assumed size of a shkunas kvaros should be. And therefore, you could always assume that it's a shkunas kvaros. Frekt Nishal David, on that same tshuva, he says, wait a second, isn't it Sfek Sveka? Meaning, Safek, maybe Lonik Barklal, maybe no one is buried here. And even if someone is buried here, maybe even if someone is buried there, maybe Chul de Gerara, maybe he was dragged here by some animal or something, meaning maybe he was dragged away rather by some animal or whatever, and you're not going to find the mace anyway. So can't we rely on the Sfek Sveka? So he says, no, whenever there's a Shkunas Kvaros, so it's not a Safek whether someone is buried here. Whenever you have a Shkunas Kvaros, it's considered a Vadai that there are more, and therefore you have to look for more. Aye, Safek, maybe it was dragged away by some sort of animal. That's one Safek, and B, when you're dealing with the Shkunas Kvaros, you assume there's more than one. And the assumption that some sort of animal dragged away all the bodies is extremely unlikely, right? And therefore you assume it's a real Shkunas Kvaros, and you have to continue to check. But anyway, in the context of our Gemara, we asked the Kasha, we said, why does the Mishnah Nalo say this idea between four and eight amos? What do you mean? We have 2 days in our Mishnah, neither of them are 4x8. There's 4x6 and there's 6x8. Answers the Gemara, Liyalim Rabbi Shimon Hi. Really, this Mishnah Nalo calls like Rabbi Shimon. V'haytanuhu, and it's assuming like the following the following presentation of Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Tanya, we have a brisa matzan ritzufin ve'in b'nein midal ramos ad ches yesh len tfusa ve'in len shchunas kvaros. Let's say you find a bunch of mesim that are very tightly packed together, and you don't have between 4 and 8 amos between them. They're tightly packed together. They're right next to each other. So then, yesh len tfusa, they do have a din of tfusa, but there's no din of shchunas kvaros. What does that mean? They do have a din of tfusa means when you move the bodies, you have to take the dirt directly surrounding the bodies, but there's no din of shchunas kvaros, meaning you don't have to leave them there and start looking for other mason within 20 amos. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Shimon, so who's normal Rabbi Shimon? If Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is not normal Rabbi Shimon, right? So Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, the name of Rabbi Shimon, so Rashbam fills us in, right? That Rashbam tells us, where is it? He says, Rabbi Shimon Stam, right? Mishum Rabbi Shimon, that's why the Rashbam fills us in over here. Rabbi Shimon Stam, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Now, whenever we say Rabbi Shimon, that's always Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. That's always Rashbi. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Ro'nas ha'em tsoyim kilu einon, v'ashar mitzarfen midal ha'ramas v'adches. He says, unbelievable. He says, no, if there are a lot of mesim buried closely together, you view it as if the mesim in the middle aren't there, and then you can count the rest of them, meaning if then they are from 4 and 8 amos apart from each other. I mean, if you have a mace, and then another amos away, another mace, another amos away, another mace, and it keeps on going, so pretend the middle guys aren't there, and between mace the 1 and mace 4, you're going to have between 4 and 8 amos. And between mace 4 and mace number 7, you also have between 4 and 8 amos. So that will give it a din of shkunas kvaros. So don't tell me just because they're packed tightly together that it's not a din of shkunas kvaros. No, you pretend that the middle guys aren't there, and then you do have a din of shkunas kvaros. Frak Maram in the back of the Gemara, in the bottom of the Marsha, says, wait a second, if you pretend the middle guys aren't there, then you don't have 3. The whole point is that there were 3 mason, and the 3 mason were close together. So what do you mean, pretend the middle guy is not there? If the middle guy is not there, then you only have 2. So the Maram says, no, we're talking about that there are several mason. That you didn't just find 3. You found whatever, 8, 9, 10 mason. So you could pretend the middle guys aren't, that it's Bechiai Gavna, that if you could pretend the middle guys aren't there, and still have 3, that's when it's a shchunas kvaros. But pretending the middle guys aren't there, and then you wouldn't have 3, that would not be a shchunas kvaros. Right? It's only the shchunas kvaros in that way. So, but what do you see? What did Rabbi Shimon say? Vashar mitzarfin, what was his numbers? Idal ramos v'yarches. So you see Rabbi Shimon in the Brisa holds from 4 to 8, which is exactly what the Mishnah Nalo says. So we're saying we're just going to assume like that presentation of Shitas Rabbi Shimon. So says Gemara, but wait a second, Mamayu Kimta Rabbi Shimon, what did you say that the Mishnah Nalo that we just quoted that we're focusing on today is authored by Rabbi Shimon, Ema Seifa, but then you go weiter in that Mishnah and it says, Bodek Heimenu La'alan Esrim Amma, that you go and you search another 20 amos. So money. If we're assuming like Rabbi Shimon, you should have to search 22 amos. Why should you have to search 22 amos? Because shteima aros shel ches ches v'sheish techatzer harechav beis. Because what are you searching? You're searching 2 ma'aros. Each ma'ara, now we're assuming, has, according to Rabbi Shimon, 8 amos, plus the chatzer, which we discussed yesterday, the chatzer that connects the 2 ma'aros, is 6 amos. So 8 plus 8 is 16 plus 6 is 22. So you should really check the 22 amos. It's interesting. Why do we even check the chatzar? But apparently the assumption of the Rashbam throughout the daf is that we're checking the chatzar also, that we're not just checking the ma'aros themselves, even though no one is ever buried by the chatzar. Right? You don't bury people in the chatzar, but we check that area. Possibly, well, it's I'm not sure what the answer is. I'm not sure. I thought I saw something earlier today on it, but I'm not sure what I'm not sure what the answer is. I thought I saw something earlier on it, but I can't find it now. But but the Rashbam definitely says that. Here it is. In Buri Adaf, he quotes the Chidushe Marivan, that the Chatzar is not a Makum Kfura Klal. So he asks on the Rashbam, why in the world would you be Bodek the Chatzar? Even the Ma'aras themselves, you don't check the middle area of the Ma'ara, you only check the Kuchen. You only check like in the walls where the mason actually are. You're not going to check inside the ma'ara where the people stand when they go to bury the mace. So why would you check the chatzar, which is outside the ma'ara? That we spoke about yesterday, it might even be on a different level. It is on a different level. It might even be all the way on ground level, way above the Ma'ara. Why would you check that area? So he says, Me'achar v'kalam aros p'suchas l'chatzar, yechashash es galgulatum l'chatzar. Hard to understand, but he says since it's in such close proximity to the Ma'ara, so we're choshesh that maybe some tuma got there somehow. Don't know how. Maybe there was a mace that was in some way, that was cut up or something, and they dropped part of the mace. Or whatever it is, we have to assume that maybe tuma got to the chatzar. So you check the chatzar. But either way, says the Gemara, even if you're checking the chatzar, according to Rabbi Shimon, chatzar plus tuma aros is 22 amos. It's not 20 amos. So if you're going to make the ukimta that the Mishnah Nalos is going like Rabbi Shimon, why are you only checking 20 amos? You should check 22 amos. And here Rabbanan, and if you're assuming like the Rabbanan, Timni Srei Havyan, then you should only check 18 amos. Right? If you're going to say that the Seifa is going like the Rabbanan, even though the Reisha we already said is going like Rabbi Shimon, and you want to be Dochek and say that the Reisha is going like Rabbi Shimon and the Seifa is like the Rabbanan, still it wouldn't work, because the length of a Ma'ara is 6 amos. So 6 amos plus a second Ma'ara of 6 amos plus 6 amos of a Chatzar is 6 times 3 is 18. It's not 20. So says the Gemara, Liolam Rabbanan. Really, we're assuming like the Rabbanan. The Seifa is assuming like the Rabbanan. Lom Rabbanan hi. Ukagon de badak balachsona. But you check an area of 20 amos, because one of the ma'aros, you check the alachson as well. You don't only check the straight area, you would check the diagonal as well. And how much is the diagonal? So we said, for every one of a straight line, for every side of a square, the diagonal is going to be, what did we say, 1.4 is what the Gemara assumes, right? So if you have a side of a square that's 6 amos, so 6 times 0.4, so you would have 8.4 amos that you would that in diagonal that you would check. So you would have an extra 2.5 amos beyond what you would normally expect. So if you check one of the ma'aros on a diagonal and the other one regular and the chatzah regular, so then you have 6 plus 6 plus 8, and that's 20. And that's how it goes. Like, it's a little more than 20 because it's 6 plus 6 plus 8.4 or whatever. That's roughly 20. And that's what it means when it says that you check the 20 amos. Frank the Gemara, but wait a second. Why would you check one ma'ara on a diagonal and not the other ma'ara? You know, we're saying you check one ma'ara you assume you found the mason on a diagonal and not in a straight line, and therefore you check an extra couple of amos. But why not check an extra couple of amos for the other ma'ara as well? Frankly, me the habalachsona hanami balachsona esra matarti avyan, and that should leave you with 22. Because you should have an extra 2 amos from the second mara as well. So it says, now we're not going to be that machmir. We'll be machmir to go with one alachson. We're not going to be machmir to go with two alachsons to check two diagonals. Rav Shisha b'reid Ravidi amar liolam Rabbi Shimon hi. Rav Shisha b'reid Ravidi says, no. Let's go back to what we said originally. That not only is the Reisha Rabbi Shimon, maybe even the Seifa is going like Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, shouldn't you check 22 amos and not 20 amos? Because each Ma'ara is 8 amos, and 8 plus 8 plus 6 is 22. So it says the Gemara, no, the only Rabbi Shimon, b'mayaskinan, b'nifli. But over here we're dealing with smaller Ma'ara. It's a smaller Ma'ara because it's a Ma'ara of Nefelim. It's a Ma'ara of stillborns, so it's much smaller, and therefore you don't have to check as large an area. The Gemara is so good. So now you have two less amos to check in one of the ma'aros because it's nefelim. The Gemara, but if one of the ma'aros is nefelim, then maybe the other potential ma'ara that you're checking for is also of nefelim. And therefore, Timni Srei Havyan, therefore it should be a grand total of 18, not 20. So answers the Gemara, Chadda benifli amrinan, Tarti benifli lo amrinan. No, we only say Nefelim in one Ma'ara. We're not going to say that they're Nefelim in two consecutive Ma'aros. That's a strange comment, no? That we're going to say they're Nefelim in one Ma'ara, but not two Ma'aros? Why would you say such a thing? Why would we make that assumption? So the Ramban writes that it's not the Derech to make two Ma'aros right next to each other, a Kvur for Nefelim. How many Nefelim you have already? That you can have a whole section of Ma'aros, one right after the other of Nefelim? That's not normal. You'll have one of Nefelim and then another one. The one next to it will be a regular Ma'ara. It's unlikely that you have two next to each other of Nefelim. The Tulsa seems to understand that. No, there's an assumption that there's a large ma'ara next to a small ma'ara. So the small ma'ara is probably for the nephilim. The larger ma'ara is not for nephilim, and therefore you have to check it fully to assume that it's a full-fledged ma'ara and check it as if it were a regular ma'ara. But either way, we don't assume that there are two ma'aras of nephilim right next to each other, and that's how we arrive at the number 20 to check 20 amos around it as opposed to 22. But in a chinami, if it were a regular mace that you found, it wasn't an ethel, it was a regular mace, and it was a regular ma'ara, not just mace, it was a regular three mesim that you found, it was a regular shkunas akvaros, so then you should have to check 22 amos. You shouldn't check just 20 amos, because then you're not choshesh. Why would you only check for a ma'ara of nefelim? You have a regular ma'ara, then you check in the normal way. Frak the Gemara, what do we say? If you find mesim that are very tightly packed together, so we had a machlokas, Rav Shimon and the Rabbanan, whether you assume that's a shkunas kvaros, or whether you, by pretending that the middle mesim aren't there, only looking at the ones that are between 4 and 8 amos apart from each other, and therefore giving it the status of shkunas kvaros, or saying, no, since these aren't buried in the normal way, they're so tightly packed, they're so close to each other, it's not a shkunas kvaros. Who said what in that machlokas? So remember, it was the Rabbanan who said that ein lehen din shkunas kvaros, and Rabbi Shimon said, nah, just pretend the middle guys aren't here, and that will give it a din of shkunas kvaros. Frak the Gemara, we have a stira, v'rami d'rabbanan ad-rabbanan v'rami d'Rabbi Shimon ad-Rabbi Shimon. We have a stira, the Rabbanan are sosar themselves, and Rabbi Shimon is sosar himself, ditnan, because we have a Mishnah in a very similar case, not talking about mesim, but talking about things that are tightly packed together, kerem hanatua al-pachos me'arba amos. Let's say you have vines, and that are planted less than 4 amos apart from each other. They're right on top of each other, right next to each other. Does that have a din of a vineyard? It does not have a din of a vineyard. There are different halachos. If something has a din of a kerem in terms of kilei kerem, then if it doesn't, then it's just then if it were just a single vine. So kerem hanatua al pachas me'arba amos. Rabbi Shimon Omer eino kerem. Rabbi Shimon says that's not a vineyard. V'cham Omer, why is it not a vineyard? Because they're too tightly packed, and that's not the way people plant a vineyard. The Chum Amrim Hareza Kerem. The Chum say, sure, it's a vineyard. How is it a vineyard? Vro in the same time. Kiluaynan. Pretend the middle vines aren't there. And if you have 4 amos between vine 1 and vine 4, even if there are vine 2 and 3 in between, ignore vines 2 and 3, and just look at vine 1, vine 4, vine 7. There's your vineyard. Right, you have the vines planted 4 amos apart from each other, even though there might be others in between. So you see, kasha drabanan drabanan. It's a stir in the rabbanan, because over here the rabbanan just say that it is a vineyard, and we view the middle ones if they're not there. But when it comes to the mesim, the rabbanan said it's not a shkunas akvaros. The kasha drabishimun, and it's a stir in Rabbi Shimon, because when it came to the mesim, Rabbi Shimon said pretend the middle guys aren't there, and it is a shkunas akvaros. And when it comes to the vineyard, he says nah, that's not a vineyard when they're planted right on top of each other. So how do we answer the stira? Answers the Gemara: Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon lo kasha. It's not a stira, Rabbi Shimon. Hasam lo nati inchi adaita liaker. Hacha zimnin de misrami lebein hashmashos mikri manchile. Because it's unlikely that a person would ever plant a vineyard with the intention to uproot it later. So when people planted these vines so close to each other, they intended for these vines to be very close to each other, and therefore we assume they're not going to uproot it, and this is never going to look like a vineyard. And if it's never going to look like a vineyard, it doesn't have a din of a vineyard. As opposed to by a mace, sometimes they'll bury a mace in a spot where they don't want him, just because it's ben hashmashos. Point is, not just any ben hashmashos, there's no problem with burying the mace. If it's ben hashmashos, bury the mace a little bit later. No, it's ben hashmashos of Erev Shabbos, so you're pushing up against Shabbos over here. So if you're pushing up against Shabbos, you don't want to mess around, so you just drop him, you bury him wherever you can. And it turns out he's a little too close to the next mace over. But the plan is to eventually remove him, and that's why you could say Rom Kilueno. It's not Stam, we pretend he's not there. We Rom Kilueno because we assume that he's supposed to be moved, that the plan was eventually to move him, and that he wasn't supposed to be there forever. The Rabbanan ad Rabbanan Nami lo kasha, it's also not a stira in the Rabbanan, Hacha kiven de menavel lo mikri kever. Over here, since it's a nivel. It's not called a proper kever. Hasa meimar amar heiminai de shaper shaper de lo shaper lav litzivi. When a guy plants vines, it could be that when the guy was planting the vines, he figured, you know what? I'll just plant lots and lots of vines right near each other. Some of them are going to take and are going to produce beautiful fruit. Others won't. So better that I just plant a lot of them, and I'll uproot the bad ones later, rather than planting them few and far between, every four amos, and then the bad ones, I'm just stuck, and I'm going to be left with less than proper vineyard. This way, mistama, I'll be left with a proper vineyard. But that was his plan, and that's why it does have a din of a vineyard, according to the Rabbanan, even though they're more tightly packed. But a shkunas kvaros, when the mesim are tightly packed, no, that's a disrespectful way to bury mesim, and therefore it should not have a din of shkunas kvaros. Hadron Allah, Chamocha Peres, Bez Hashem, tomorrow, we will start the seventh parak of Masechta Basra.